Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, this is me and all my homies love native manu. This week, we are talking about the takahi. The takahi karirado. And we don't have a bird call to play, but...
Yes, I'm going to... Anyway, here we go.
Just, Pete Tonda.
Yes.
Is yes. Gonna.
I'm attempting something here. Here we go.
Meep. 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 Meep.
That's now that's taken off. I accept no responsibility for the accuracy of that call. It's taken off 20 seconds of YouTube video where there was, you know, 1.5 calls. But the little kind of that sort of sound, that's them pattering on the water, and we'll talk a bit about that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I did wonder what that
So was. Anyway.
Oh my god, I think I'm never gonna recover from that. Anyway, today we're talking about the takahi karirado, the New Zealand storm petrel. Pete, can you please give us the classification of this manu?
Yes, indeed. endemic, only found here, nationally vulnerable, but an incredible tale of lost and found.
Yeah.
So way, way back in 1827, a Dermont d'Urville, what a name, collected two birds off the East Cape of the North Island, and they ended up going to a museum. They didn't know what they were. One more was collected off Banks Peninsula around 1890, and then no other specimens. Everyone thought it was some sort of species that have just gone extinct.
Okay.
But January 2003, there were a bunch of birdies on a photography boat trip. They took some photos off Coromandel and snapped an unknown manu. And then November 2003, a bunch of about 10 to 20 of these manu were photographed off Aotea, Great Barrier.
Wow.
And then on the 4th of November 2005, I'm building this up, a bird flew into a fishing boat. And the fisherman just happened to be an ex-stock ranger.
Wow.
And he had all his gear with him, and he recognised that was a real special rare manu.
Yep.
And so he did all the measurements, banded it, took a bit of stuff for DNA testing, probably a feather, and it matched the three museum birds collected way, way back.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that so amazing that the manu flew into the boat of someone that knew
exactly
what to do?
Exactly.
Like, if that bird flew into my boat, I'd just be like, hey, bro.
Yeah.
Have
nice
a good
to see
day.
You get back in the ocean.
But this person said,
no,
that's a
incredible. So it avoided detection for 135 years.
Which beats what I thought was the hide and seek champion of New Zealand, the takahi.
Yeah.
The takahi's got nothing on the takahi karirado.
Yes.
The New Zealand storm petrel.
Yeah. And then they had no idea where the manu was breeding. And then they, you know, they did put some transmitters on them, and they couldn't figure that out. But then in 2013, a couple of manu specialists, Chris Gaskin and Matt Rayner, the real top birdies.
Shout out.
Birdie guys.
Birdie girls. Just like us, two birdie
they
girls.
They found a breeding site on Hoturu Otoi, Little Barrier Island. And they were breeding deep in inaccessible cliff forests of the Mutu. Incredible.
Wow. What a story.
Stunning,
this is,
isn't it?
Yeah, this is bloody good. And this manu is also known as the Jesus bird.
Yes.
Is that because of its kind of resurrection moment it's had?
That's one of the interpretations, that it's come back from the dead. And the other one is that when they're sort of hunting for food, they flutter close to the sea surface and they paddle their feet. That was that little kind of, that sort of sound. And it's like they're walking on water, like Jesus.
Oh my God, that's so good, Pete.
So I reckon that's really cool.
I'm losing my mind. That's amazing.
Yeah, I lost my mind some time
back. Yeah, well, that's bloody clear.
And then they also called storm petrels because sailors thought they warned of approaching storms. And being the sort of superstitious people they were, they also thought they were the souls of dead sailors.
Yes, yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you may be a good omen to get visited by one? I don't know.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Special. Like
depends
blessing.
If you like the bloke, didn't it? Anyway, Māori relationship to the Takahi Karedaro. Yeah. What did you manage to find on this, Pete?
Yeah, not a lot because, you know, it wasn't well known by Māori, or maybe they were assumed to be the same species as the Wilson storm petrel, the Tutukaka.
Yeah.
Which looks very similar, but the completely different species.
Mm.
And they also spend all their lives at sea apart from breeding, and then they come in at nightfall. So they're real stealth manu. They just fly under the radar, and that's partly why they weren't found for so long.
Amazing. Yeah. And, I mean, maybe they were known, but we just don't know about it as well. So,
Could've been.
If anyone's got any more
whakaaro
on the relationship between tangata whenua and the Takahi Karedaro, like, feel free to text in. Mm. We're always open to learning, and nothing we ever say is really that true, is it?
Yes. Well, it needs people to verify it, and most people can't be bothered. So what we say is gospel.
And the name Takahi Kare is the name for this manu.
Yes.
Raro refers to the north.
Yeah.
This messed with me so much this week because Raro actually also refers to the south. So I was freaking confused. And then there's the Takahi Kare Rangi as well.
Yeah.
And the Takahi Kare Moana. And I was just like, I'm actually can't begin to understand this.
So
right
I think
now.
The Takahi Kare means, it refers to storm petrels, and there's a number of different species. So they chucked the raro on there because it's from the north.
Yes, because it was found on Hauturu Ōtoi.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some whakatauki that Pete's managed to find. Manawa Titi. What does that speak to, Pete?
Yeah, it means petrel-hearted.
Mm.
And a number of petrel species are credited with staying aloft at sea for long, long periods. And so they seem to have great endurance. And we can credit this manu with incredible endurance to survive as a species so long.
Yeah, I really like that whakatauki.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. And then another one we have is Kamatete Marama.
Yeah, I love this one. It means the moon is dead.
You heard it here first.
And it's a beautiful whakatauki that talks about when the moon wanes, she goes to the life-giving waters of Tāne to bathe, and then returns young again and beautiful. And it's a metaphor for being optimistic, and that while failure occurs, there's always tomorrow. And it's like this manu, the Jesus bird, is risen from the dead and starting to thrive. So it's a nice...
Yeah, a nice relation there. I like that a lot. Thanks, Pete. That's really beautiful. But yes, we've talked a bit about this manu. They're endemic. How would you describe what they look like, and what are they eating, Pete?
Yeah, small manu.
They're pretty cute.
Oh, they're very cute. The storm petrels are like the smallest seabird species.
Oh, okay.
It's 18 centimetres long, but a fair chunk of that is the feet sticking out the back of the body when it flies.
Yeah.
It's about 35 grams. It's about the size of a sparrow, but just a different shape.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so they are small, really small.
The image I saw of one looks a bit bigger than a sparrow, so wow.
Dark brown, black on top, and with white rumps. Underparts are black from throat to breast. White bellies with black streaking. And when they fly, their feet kind of hang back well beyond the tail.
Which is what gives it. Yeah. Gives them their length. Awesome. And their population size is unknown.
Yeah. Hundreds, maybe a thousand. We don't we don't know.
Yeah. And hopefully one day we will know. Yeah. But
do we need to? As long as they keep thriving, then, you know, we don't need to know everything.
Yeah, and that we've kind of been messaging a bit this week about this, Manu, being like, it's quite mysterious. And
very mysterious.
I feel like we'll just never quite understand it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay mysterious, girl. Strictly nocturnal as well. Why is that?
Yeah, and I think that's what I've read. It's to sort of avoid predation by larger gulls or skuas, but they breed deep in the forest, so they stay out of trouble and out of sight. Also tube nose, you know, like all petrel species and a number of albatrosses, so they can drink the seawater and filter out the salt.
I think that is my favourite adaptation of
it's really good
birds.
Yes.
All the birds ever. I would love to have a tube nose.
We could go for long, long swims then, couldn't we?
Exactly.
Yeah. They feed on crustaceans, plankton and small fish.
Yummy.
And the diving for them from that sort of fluttering surface walking, I think it's called pattering.
The Jesus walking.
Yeah. And they have a very good sense of smell, which helps them track down food. I found that interesting.
God, I
don't know how you track down smells of food in the ocean.
In the water.
They do.
If there's any Takahi Karerarō listening, please call in and let us know how that works. As for their breeding in the forest.
Yeah, Hōturu's the only place so far. They dig burrows like most petrels, or they find crevices, or they're under sort of kiki vines or leaf litter or amongst rocks. Eggs are white with a cluster of pink spots down one end of the egg.
Aww.
I think that's beautiful.
That is really beautiful. I'm going to look at a photo of that later.
There was just something in my body that went, oh, isn't that lovely?
I could just,
And so sure how many eggs, but petrels often only have one egg, so probably one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that's that only one egg. They got to work hard to get their numbers up.
Out, yeah. And they're just having one brood a year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of no wonder that the population has
struggled. Yeah.
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 But we also wanted to talk about the importance of Little Barrier Island, Hōturu or Toi. Pete used to work on here. On the island?
I've been to the island once.
Pete used to work on the island.
I worked on the island for 4 or 5 days. But yeah, I just want to acknowledge Mana Whenua for that motu. Ngāti Manahiri, who I did a bit of work for at one stage. Ngāti Rihua, Ngāti Wai Ki Aotea, and Ngāti Wai. Those are the three Mana Whenua that have quite strong links to this motu. And it's such an important motu. It was the first nature reserve established in Aotearoa in 1895, but really unfortunate history. I mean, the Māori owners were evicted off the island. Island was just taken into government ownership, so pretty brutal history.
Yeah.
It's looked at through treaty settlements, but really Mana Whenua only just get a smidgen of what they lost.
Yeah, classic.
But, you know, it's important to acknowledge that loss and do something to try and, you know, give some symbolic acknowledgement of what happened.
Yeah, of course. You know,
it's all through our history, that stuff.
Yeah, and we need to be aware of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the island is holds the last remaining populations of the wetapunga, the giant weta. Hee-hee, stitch bird, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but they've spread now. But without that island, they wouldn't exist.
And 98% of Northern Cook's petrels, titi, breathe there.
Yeah.
And it's the only place that the Takahi Karerarō, our manu of the week, breeds.
Now, I've been avoiding saying Takahi Karerarō because it's a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister.
It just messes with my vocabulary.
We'll keep practicing for you. Yep. Yes, and you used to work for the Ngāti Manu Here.
Yeah. I went there and it was just such a special place.
Yeah.
And the Māori is so strong there. You can just feel it.
Yeah, I
so
can imagine.
That was a real highlight for me.
Yeah.
And I'll probably never go back there again because it's quite restricted access. But
yeah, because you can't just go there.
No,
right?
You've got to get a permit.
I love that.
And, that time was enough for me.
Yeah,
you know, I just hold that dear.
Yeah, of course.
Cool.
And as for predators, and threats, I mean, sorry. How? What's Rumbuck seen up against the Takahikare Raro?
Well, I mean, Hauturu Otoi, it's predator free.
That's good.
Now they, you know, because it did have rats, the kiori and cats.
Yeah.
And they weren't eradicated. Cats were eradicated about 1980 something, 1981.
Yeah.
And the kiori was eradicated in 1981, and cats were eradicated 2004. But the manu still survived because those predators couldn't get into those places they were breeding. But now that they're gone, they can expand. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's really bloody good.
But it is a risk that it's only one breeding island and, you know, you could have disease or you could have fire, a natural disaster. So hopefully with a lot of other predator-free mutu in the Hauraki Gulf, they might over time spread. That'd be awesome.
Is there any, is there any reality in which they could be translocated to another island by humans?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of predator-free islands in the Hauraki Gulf.
Yeah.
You got to have forests with areas that they can create those burrows and stuff. So there's not that many islands that have that sort of habitat.
Yeah, we have to be very careful.
You
about
know,
that.
In Aotea on Hirakamata, they've got the Takokitai, the black petrel.
Yeah,
they're on Hauturu as well, but they're the big forest areas where they can get in and make burrows. So, but maybe over time, hopefully.
Yeah. But yes, some other predation from gulls, skuas, sharks, seals.
They can grab a few because these manu sort of feed close to the surface.
They're walking
or
on
rest
the water.
On the ocean.
And plastic pollution.
Yeah, they sometimes mistake that for food and they can choke on that or get caught up in plastic. And climate change affects everything.
Yep.
Food systems, availability. And they've got to survive these massive ocean storms, but they're called storm petrels for good reason because
they can do anything.
They're little manu, but they're hard out, you know.
Yeah, I love this bird, the Takahikare Raro. If you don't know about it, it's made a phenomenal comeback.
It's fantastic.
And an important manu for us all to keep in mind. At least a well known one, which I always enjoy talking about with you, Pete.
It's good.
And you've got a song to play for us today. We couldn't quite find the one that you wanted.
That's okay. We've got a cool song, Dave Dobbin, Wailing. And it's a great song about humans struggling with stormy seas and, you know, almost drowning. And you compare it to this little tiny manu that thrives and relishes storms in the big oceans.
Yep, I love that. Shot Pete, thanks so much.
I think you can dance to it. Real slow, you just gotta hold them close. Imagine you're in a bar at about 4 in the morning, you don't have a guitar, all you got is a very large vodka and a pen. And your baby is 3,000 letters away. You know it's love. Sing back. Your ship can't handle the heavier sea. Your spirits will get you through. Sing it to me.
I'm wailing out on the green. I never get used to the sea. But I'm wailing, manning my harbor, not where I want it to be. But I'm wailing, feel like Jonah, never meaning you no harm. But I'm wailing, next port of call, back in my sweet baby's arms. In a room close, say the ring I love while we got rest and recreation. Oh yeah. Milk it, baby, milk it.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.